Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you. In about 30 minutes, Patricia Joy Xavier will be joining me. I hope you're doing well today. I have a wonderful word, I believe, from the Lord for somebody out there today. We're going to talk about it and several other things that are taking place. We had a little earthquake in northwest Arkansas, or I guess the state of Arkansas, last night around 2 a.m., I guess this morning. 2 a.m., there was a 3.2 earthquake, and many people felt it. No damages, no issues, but the earth is shaking. And what we have in this part of the country is the New Madrid Fault Line, which is kind of like the San Andreas Fault Line or the Cascadian or those other fault lines that run through the West Coast and throughout the country. We have one here that they say is well overdue as well. So the day of the great shaking probably is going to happen in our lifetime in a massive way. But I really genuinely want to shift into something that I feel is very important today. And I want to read, first of all, out of 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, and it begins this way in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wow, what a mouthful, is it not? That is huge. What is being said there about your inheritance, about your eternal destination as a believer in Jesus Christ. Peter's writing to the church 2,000 years ago. He's writing to you and I today, the same words of God. But here it is, verse 6. Wherein, all right, because of all these wonderful promises, you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, okay, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now watch this. And there's one other verse here I want to look at in the First Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Peter's talking about these trials that are going to be very intense, fiery trials. They are going to produce the praise, glory, and honor at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And then chapter 4, verse 12, Peter says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." All right, so last night we gathered together in Decatur, Arkansas, over at the Ark, and we had a wonderful time, a great Bible study, and something was said last night, and I wondered if anybody really captured it or caught it, and I want to share it once again. What is the purpose of the trial that many of God's kids are going through? And in fact, Peter went on to say that these trials are being felt by your brethren all over the world. So your personal trial, your personal fiery trial is not something unique. What Peter wanted us to know is that these trials are happening all over the world. And for you and I, it's easy to consider that in Nigeria, our brothers and sisters are going through what it's becoming just an epic time of persecution. And then we know around the world, we see the same thing among Christians. Persecution's coming. Hong Kong right now, the saints of God, the Christians in Hong Kong are fearing Chinese persecution because of all the protests that have been happening. So the fiery trial that Christians go through is all about producing the gold, right? It's all about producing and getting something from us that God is after. And so it should not be thought of, whatever trial you're going through, as though it's unique to you. It's not. It's happening all over the world. Christians, for 2,000 years, quite frankly, with a few pauses along the way, have undergone severe trials of affliction. Unfortunately, for most of us in the American church, our fiery trial is when somebody looks at us cross-eyed or says something we don't like, or, you know, we didn't get chocolate ice cream when we wanted, when that's what we wanted, we wound up with vanilla or something, right? In other words, our trials as Christians in America have been basically obsolete, quite frankly. I mean, we struggle with health and we struggle with relationships. We struggle with finances. We struggle with, you know, our personalities and, you know, flesh and all of that. But the fiery trial of persecution is what Peter had in mind. And I know that, unfortunately, some Christian people back off. They cool down when trials come to them at any level, because everybody's been taught in America that if you're a Christian, you're not supposed to have any trials. You're supposed to be into nothing but prosperity and everything is working perfect. And, you know, who needs the cross when you have the grace of God, et cetera, et cetera. So the fact of the matter is fiery trials are coming. And I believe that they have already begun in many Christians locally here in this country. And you've been going through something, maybe some spiritual warfare, maybe some intense spiritual warfare lining against your life because you're speaking the truth or you're doing what is right and you're suffering for doing what is right. But here's the point. Yes, the persecution is going to come, but I believe that we are in a present season, that right now the Christian church in America is right now presently in a season that Father God is trying our hearts. In other words, he's allowing these fiery trials to take place within us. He's allowing the warfare. He's allowing the hot breath of the enemy to breathe down our necks. He's allowing things to happen against us, some form of slander, gossip, backbiting, whatever it is, distrust, misinformation, you know, somebody doesn't like us, whatever the case is. He's allowing things to happen to us that basically complement in a very minor way what Jesus Christ went through himself, okay? So he's allowing these trials. A lot of it is inward because the internal struggle between the flesh and the spirit, and for those that continue to carry the cross, there's a lot less flesh, but every once in a while, you know, that flesh nature rises up and You know, the enemy brings a many-sided attack to your heart, your mind, your soul. And so you're in the heat of the battle, and it's a testing of your faithfulness to remain true, to remain faithful at that time. But what is the purpose of this present trying of the heart? I believe it's simply this, and it was said last night. There is an outpouring of God's weighty anointing. And this is how, the only way to really say it, there is a weighty anointing, in other words, a heavy anointing, a mantle that is about to come upon this end time ecclesia, the people of God, so that we think it was pretty amazing when Peter walked down the street and the people lined up their sick friends and family members and his shadow that passing by them brought healing to their lives. That's a weighty anointing. There is a very weighty anointing. And when I use that, it's in the book of Corinthians where Paul writes about the eternal weight of glory, the present sufferings compared to the eternal weight of glory. And the glory of this anointing, the glory of this season that we're about to walk into. Now watch, you've been going through something. You're mature enough to know you've been going through something. And you've understood that you can rejoice in it because it's not something that's being forced upon you. It's because you've chosen to follow the Lamb of God. You're not a Christian because anybody told you you had to be. God knocked on the door of your heart. You opened the door. You've been following the Lord. You've gone through seasons. You know God is good. You could never walk away from the Lord. And yet the fiery trials have been designed not only to push you away, but to, you know, prove you to be otherwise. But something inside of you, your faith, and that genuine relationship you have compels you to move forward. You're about to experience a weighty anointing, for the present sufferings, said Paul in Romans chapter 8, are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. And so the reason why you and I can rejoice in our time of suffering, in our time of fiery trials, in our time of testing, as God is trying our hearts, the reason why we can rejoice is because we understand that God is producing something that's going to enable us to endure to the end of what is coming on the earth. Now, what is coming on the earth? The greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth is what's coming on the earth. I mean, it is the greatest tribulation that is forming all over the world for the first time in the history of the world through modern technology. We are about to face what other societies have faced in time past in different places, but it's going to hit the whole world at the same time everywhere. And we must be pressure-proof Christians. Okay, not puffy Christians. We have to be pressure-proof Christians. Why pressure-proof? Because the word tribulation is the Greek word thlipsis, and that word thlipsis means pressure. And so when the pressure comes, if we're not pressure-proof, we're going to cave in to the weight of the satanic energy that is going to make contact. And I often refer to this likened to the Saturn V rocket. You know, the Saturn V rocket was ultimately designed to pierce through, you know, the veil of our gravity and to break out of our, you know, solar system, if you will, or not our solar system, but our, that thing around the planet, atmospheric, whatever. So what they do with the Saturn V rocket, it had three canisters on it, right? The first one ignited, lifted the rocket off the ground, began to soar at high speeds. That first rocket canister emptied out the liquid fuel that was in it. It disengaged from the rocket. The second one ignited. It propelled that rocket to go at higher speeds and just turbo boosting thrust, right? And then that second one would run out of liquid fuel. This is all scientific. You could read it in the encyclopedia. And then when all the liquid fuel of that second canister of rocket fuel emptied out, that second container would disengage from the rocket. The third one would kick in and would cause the Saturn V rocket to travel at speeds to 25,000 miles per hour. Think about that. 25,000 miles per hour. And what was that called? Well, according to the people that built this spaceship, the Saturn V rocket, that was known as escape velocity. I want you to think about this, okay? Escape velocity. What was happening? When that third canister of liquid rocket fuel ignited, propelling the rocket to 25,000 miles per hour. It was at that moment, about 12 minutes into the flight, when the rocket would make contact with the heavy forces of gravity, the Orion belt, you know, that heat wave, that shield around our planet, where, you know, where a comet would try to come through to hit the Earth, but it would burn up in that particular area. Well, this rocket ship had to pierce through that. This heat and this pressure and this gravity, everything was designed to destroy the rocket from breaking through. But because after many failed attempts, they built this Saturn V rocket and it prevailed. It literally broke through the veil, and now all of a sudden it's in outer space. And there's no longer any pressure, and this ship is just kind of floating around, getting ready to go where they intended it to go. Well, your life is like this, and you need to know that. The liquid rocket fuel that God has put on the inside of you is not all the vitamin B or the vitamins we take. The liquid rocket fuel is the anointing. It is the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's not only in you, it is within a generation of believers in these last days that are going to be ignited by the power of the Holy Spirit to break through the veil that normally would bring destruction and devastation, and yet there's going to be a breaker anointing, a breakthrough anointing into the eternities of God. What does that look like? What does that even mean? Well, you know, there is a spiritual realm. There is a dynamic reality. The Apostle Paul found it. Remember, it says that Paul, the apostle, had caught up to the third heaven, and that whether he was in his body or not in his body, he didn't know. But nonetheless, he went into paradise and he heard things that were not permissible for him to speak. Do you remember when the Apostle John on the island of Patmos went and was caught up? He heard a sound come up hither, and immediately he was in the spirit in the very throne room of God. These men serve as two witnesses in the new covenant to a people that will break through the veil of our mere humanness. Now, other people are trying to get there by New Age, metaphysics, science of mind, humming, gurus, you know, whatever they're trying to do. They're trying to access some spiritual realm and dimension because they know it does exist. But unfortunately, they're like the thief that's trying to enter in another way, because the only access into the genuine of what God is doing is through his son, Jesus Christ. And so everybody that comes through the son has genuine access into that realm who would seek it and go after it. Paul said he caught up to the third heaven. It seems like he was running after it. But listen, there is an anointing coming to our generation. At the same time, darkness is growing all over the world. The light of God is about to manifest in a blinding fashion, an amazing glory, a bursting of light and energy and power, and it is for you. And I believe that this third day anointing, you know, we are living, nobody could argue this, we are living in what is known as the prophetic third day of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no denying it. One day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is as one day. Jesus Christ by himself was on this earth 2,000 years ago. That means it was 2 days ago. We're entering into the third millennium since Christ was on the earth. We are a third day people. We are people living in the prophetic third day. When you study the scripture about the third day, number one, it's all about resurrection power. And I want you to know that there's anointing of resurrection life that is bursting on the inside of you, quickening every cell in your body, causing your blood to flow again. It's zapping and destroying through a divine energy, sickness and disease. God is going to raise his people up when this anointing comes to fruition. My God, this anointing is what was on the earth 2,000 years ago, embodied in a man named Jesus. He was the Christ of God. And everywhere he went, he cast out devils. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. It was the energy and anointing of God that was in him. It's been long 2 days, a long 2,000 years, and there have been little glimmers along the way, but God said he saved the best until last. You remember the wedding of Cana of Galilee? It was on the third day. that Jesus went to the wedding, and there he began his ministry of miracles. He turned the water into wine, and he manifested forth his glory. I'm telling you, on the third day, we're going to begin to see once again a manifestation of the glory of God, the beginning of a new era of miracles, signs, and wonders belonging to Jesus Christ, not the false signs and wonders of an antichrist world or a satanic world that we live in. Folks, it's here. I don't know how to convince anybody. I guess you let it be according to your faith, but it's here. The anointing that God is about to release is going to land and make landfall upon those who have been tried in the fire. So let's put it in perspective. You're a Christian because God knocked on your door, not because your mommy and daddy went to church and they were Christians. You are a follower of Jesus because he said, come, follow me, like Peter and James and John, the fishermen. You are a believer, and the Lord has turned around, looked at you, and said, unless you take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. So you said, well, I want to be your disciple, so I'm going to take up my cross and follow you. And you began to understand what it means to carry your cross in this world. It is a crucifixion to the world and the world's crucifixion to you, like Paul said in Galatians. So you've begun this journey. You've been through all kinds of different challenges and situations in your life. And maybe it's been a long season, 50 years, 40 years, 30 years, 20 years, 10 years, 5 years. You've been journeying with Jesus. You've been walking with the Holy Spirit, right? And God has been refining your character. He has been instilling his divine nature on the inside of you, because you were born again, not of corruptible seed from your mother and father, but from the incorruptible seed, the word of God. You've been born again. So there's a seed that got into the good soil of your heart. And within that seed is contained the full nature of the firstborn son, Jesus Christ, right? We know this. It's elementary. And God has been bringing you through, and the seed has been undergoing its own metamorphosis, and it's been being quickened in you and growing up on the inside of you. You're bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You're bearing the fruit of that divine nature. There's still a war going on. The flesh wars against the spirit. The spirit wars against the flesh. You've been going through these things, but you have remained faithful to the Lord. You've endured the processes of tribulation, persecution, suffering. You have allowed the fiery trials to burn up the chaff in your life. Why did you do it? Because you desired the fullness of the Spirit of God. You desired to be like your daddy. You desired to be like the firstborn son. There's something God did in your walk with him that actually created in you a desire to want to be like him, and you understood that in order for that to happen, there had to be the process of sanctification in your life. You've already been called. You've already been justified. You've been going through the sanctification process, and where does that lead? Well, from justification to sanctification comes glorification. And I believe that the realm of glorification is at the door right now, and that there is a special anointing that God will entrust to you because you've been faithful through the trial. You've allowed the cross to crush you. You've allowed the cross to crush you and the Spirit of God within you to transform you into his image and likeness. I mean, it is, when you think about it, it is a reason to rejoice. I know no present trial or suffering seems to be joyous for the time. We read that in Hebrews. But when it's complete, it produces the peaceable fruits of righteousness. That's all about sonship and discipleship. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us all about it. So what is God saying today to you? Lift up your head, raise up your hands, shout to God when you have gone through things. Probably you, like me, have had to go through things because God has to continue to shape us into his image. He is like one of those guys that takes a piece of stone and he has to fashion it, and he has to break things off and smooth out the rough edges. This is a work. You are God's masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. You are his workmanship in Christ Jesus. And God is going to put his signature upon your life when he's all done. He's going to present you to eternity. And people are going to look at you one day and say, man, you used to be one way, but you're a totally different way today. It's an incredible work. And here's the key. This is the kicker. We're allowing it. Because at any time we don't want it, we don't want to stay in the fire, we don't want sanctification, we don't want to carry the cross, we could walk away. And guess what, folks? Because the pressure that's coming on this earth, many people are going to fall away. Many people are going to turn away. Many people are going to say, you know what? I don't like this idea of being killed, persecuted, betrayed, hated of all nations. You know, I don't like this. I didn't sign up for this. When I got born again, they told me I was going to have nothing but, roses and sunshine and, you know, nothing bad was ever going to happen to me. That's the prosperity gospel in its truest form. No bad thing is supposed to happen to you. You're supposed to be a king on this earth and a queen and walking in, you know, perfectness. There's a dragon in the world, for goodness sake, folks. And if you don't know how to fight the dragon, if you don't know how to fight the beast, if you don't know how to fight the false prophet, if you don't know how to come against the world and have the energy and power to go against the flow of the world, flesh, and devil, how are you going to survive? No, the first thing that you and I must do is exactly what happened in the pattern son Jesus. The moment the Holy Spirit came upon him, where did the Spirit lead him? Into the wilderness. To do what? To test him. Folks, you've been in a wilderness experience since the day you believed. Now, what you've been doing in the wilderness is all about your personal journey. But the time is coming. The time is at hand where there is a weighty mantle. It's going to come upon the people like it did in the book of Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came into that room, tongues of fire sat upon each one of them and entered into their belly. And they came out and transformed the world. There is a, and I was going to say this, remember what it said in the wedding at Cana of Galilee? That was a third day wedding. Jesus went on the third day. But what did he say? He saves the best wine for last. Remember the governor of the feast when Jesus turned the water to wine? Said, wait a second, where did this wine come from? He said, normally men give the very best up front and then people well drink, then they give them the less stuff, the not so good stuff. He said, but you saved the best wine for last. We are the last generation. I hope you understand that we are about to enter into a moment where we're going to be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to be a people alive and remaining at the coming of the Lord. Now, remember, we talked about it yesterday on Kerm Radio. The coming of the Lord is not when he comes to make landfall on the earth. The next time the Lord of glory comes, he's coming to meet us in the air. When he comes, he's going to send his angels to gather together his elect. The dead in Christ are going to rise in the first resurrection. We who are alive and remaining are going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and we will ever be with the Lord. Then, when does that happen? Do you remember? That resurrection, and then those alive and remaining are going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air after the resurrection of the dead. There's no secret about that, right? So when that happens, we go up to meet the Lord in the air. We go with the Lord. God then pours out his wrath. But when does the Lord come? Well, according to Matthew 24:29, immediately after the tribulation that Jesus talked about, which is revealed in Revelation chapter 13, yes, the saints of God alive on this earth are going to have to go through. That's why he's making us pressure proof, and he's going to entrust this mantle, this anointing, for a people that will go through the 3.5-year journey through the great tribulation. Now, the majority are going to have wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb during the great tribulation, according to Revelation chapter 7. The overcomers are going to be preserved by the mark of the Father in their forehead. But listen, immediately after that last moment in the 3.5-year persecution and struggle that will come, that's when the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, but he doesn't come to earth. He stays in the air. He, from the air, allows the trumpet sound to go forth. He sends his angels. He harvests or gathers together his elect. The dead will rise first. The graves are going to open all over the world. The world is going to see, oh my God, what just happened? The dead rose. People just disappeared and vanished. That's the real rapture, if you will. But we go up to meet the Lord in the air. He doesn't make landfall yet. And then once we leave, then Revelation chapter 16 takes place. God begins to pour out his wrath, that we were never appointed to his wrath, But the tribulation is not God's wrath. It's the dragon's wrath, right? So while the wrath of God is being poured out on the earth, we are with the Lord. The next time the Lord comes after that is in Revelation 19, when he comes with the armies of heaven. That's us riding white horses, right? Whatever that looks like, whatever that means, we are coming back with him to set up his millennial reign on the earth. The millennial kingdom takes place after the great tribulation, then the catching away of the church, the resurrection of the dead. That'll all happen. Then God will pour out his wrath upon the nations of the earth. Then, after that is accomplished, Babylon, Revelation 17 and 18, will be fully destroyed. Then Jesus Christ will come, and he'll lock up the false prophet, the beast. He'll make war with the nations of the earth that set themselves against him, his purposes, and he's going to come and set up the millennial kingdom. Now, this is all reality if you're a believer, and I'm a believer. Are you a believer? I'm a believer. I believe, but I believe that God has a special anointing for his people in this hour, and the deeper your trial has been, and the as faithful as you have been in the depth of that trial is where God can trust you with the anointing. In Thessalonians, Paul said that God had trusted him with the gospel. And boy, you look at the trials that the Apostle Paul had to go through, but those trials proved him, just like God proved Abraham to see if he would sacrifice his son, okay? And when Abraham took out the knife and was ready to kill his son, the angel said, stop, now I know. You and I have to be trusted by God with the anointing and what his purpose is for this generation. And he's proving us through our trials. And sometimes it's a cakewalk. Sometimes the blessing is there. Sometimes God is just so good, you just don't know what to say, but hallelujah. I mean, the winds die down, the enemy backs off. You know, God has gotten something from us, and this is really awesome. But then at other times, he has to prove his people in order to get them prepared for what he's doing. Yeah, we're getting prepared to go through the tribulation period, but God is preparing us to make sure that he could trust us with what he's doing. Good morning, Patricia Joy Xavier. How are you this morning? Can you come in over here?
Okay,
just a little bit?
Yes, I will.
I'll give you this.
Well, hello. Get in here too.
I will. I'll join you.
We're going to get it better, folks. Hello. Just have patience with us. We're learning.
So what you thinking about this morning, Patricia Joy?
Well, first, this is one of the things we will do better. The first thing that I thought about again this morning when I woke up is that one more day to get it right and to understand the truth of God. And one of the things that you have been mentioning regarding the latter days that we are in right now, I just heard in my spirit some people saying that are listening in, how do you really know that these are the latter days outside of a few things that are going on right now? Well, yes, you could tell by that which is going on right now. However, the truth of the matter is that it has been prophesied for 365 times in Old Testament of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in the New Testament, it's been prophesied that there is and if you would look and read for yourself, Mark 13 speaks about these days clearly. Matthew 24 speaks about the coming of these days clearly. And Luke 21 speaks about the coming of these days clearly. So if you're questioning, any of you out there are questioning whether or not there is any reality to what we're saying, please go and read these scriptures in the books that I had mentioned to you, which are in the New Testament. And you will learn and find out exactly what's going on, and it'll be in parallel to what you see. And this is how we know by the work of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that has given men prophetic utterance prior in the Old Testament about this day and also in the New Testament. And the one that was speaking of what will be was Jesus Christ himself in those scriptures that I gave you in the New Testament. We cannot deny what is going on. And therefore, what we see in the earth today is a reality of the last day.
Well, amen to that. And as you're talking, I guarantee there are people listening to this radio broadcast right now that have a firm reality because they have been diligent to observe the signs of the times. And that's what Jesus told us to do, observe the signs of the times. Some people look through the scientific lens into life. We've said it 1,000 times. Other people look through what the media is telling them. Well, we look at the world through a biblical lens, and we seek to interpret the things that we see that are going on. And I think leave Christians all over the world are starting to actually do this. They're observing the signs of the times, and they're saying, hey, this is what Jesus said was going to happen, and it's happening. And then when it comes, Patricia, to getting prepared, the reason why we can rejoice in our trials, even though no present suffering seems to be joyous, right? It's never joyful. And I remember when I was a young man and I used to play football, that we would go through what was called Hell Week. And Hell Week were these two-a-days. And what would happen in the two-a-days, you would get your pads on, you would go and you would practice in the summertime in full uniform, and it was brutal. And while it was totally brutal, after that time of practicing and getting ready for the season ahead, man, that's when the stars came out. That's when that training really began to show up. Same thing, I'm sure, with a military mindset as well. All that boot camp that people go through to learn how to use their weapon, the hand-to-hand combat, all the stuff that you train, well, when you're on the battlefield, everything you learn comes in handy. And what we're talking about today is rejoicing in the trials when God reveals things and he's burning it up and we allow him to do it and we're just being faithful. If nothing else, we're just being faithful. And yet that is going to produce the gold that's going to enable us to walk through the fire without even feeling it in the days that lie ahead.
Well, there was a scripture that brought that up with Meshach and Abednego.
Oh, there you go. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Right. And what we have, though, is a wonderful understanding today that there is an army being raised up, and we are the army of God. And he has called us into this army, and he is preparing us. This is the preparation of the great and mighty war. But this war will not be fought by physical means. It will be fought by spiritual means. And the reason is because what's behind all of destruction and chaos is evil. It's all demonic, using individuals and people all over the world, the various kinds and means to move now against the church, the true church of God and Israel. And so we're seeing it at hand. And Israel is also prophesied to be surrounded by armies. And today, those armies that have been prophesied are the absolute ones that are surrounding them. And this is how we know we're in the last days. Now, what do? We put on our armor. We're at war, and it is spiritual armor, but it is the most protective, most powerful armor one could have. The United States and all the nations of the world could not have the warfare of weapons that the Holy Spirit can give and the power of an open heaven working with us. This is a time like no other. And I'm expressing my heart to get into the army of God, become a warrior, learn how to battle spiritual warfare. This is a time to become spiritually minded. The Holy Spirit will guide you and direct your steps. But first, you must surrender your heart completely to the work that has been done for you on the cross. The name is Jesus Christ. He's a Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Master of everything. And this is meaning Master of the universe and all that's going on. And he is going to rectify and correct everything in a short while. You better be on the right side, folks.
Okay, so there's a parable that Jesus taught right alongside with what you're saying. And the parable was about a people that he turned to and said, you know, if you're going to follow me, you need to count the cost. You need to count the cost. And then he gives the parable about a king that goes out to meet one other king with 20,000. And can he fight the king with only having 10,000? And a man that begins to build a house, does he have the resources to complete it or not? And so there is always a considering of the cost. And what I believe the Spirit of God is saying to us in this generation is a lot of you want the anointing that we're speaking about today, but you don't want to pay the price. You want it to just come upon you because you have faith in Jesus. You believe in Jesus. And therefore, because you have faith and you believe in Jesus, suddenly God's supposed to download you with all this supernatural power and energy and equipment. It doesn't work that way. If you believe in Jesus, what you do is you believe in what he said is true. And what he said is what we're about to face. But the way that you have to approach this moment, each one of us, do I have what it takes to really go forward in this time? I mean, I'm living in a moment where God said, the love of many is going to wax cold. There's going to be men and women that were once brothers and sisters in Christ betraying and hating one another. So do I have presently, inwardly, the resources necessary to keep my heart in the love of God? Well, that's what I've been tested in for the last however many years. Will I maintain love in my heart for God and his creation? Do we have what it takes to really go through this? And if we're not considering the cost, and if we're not recognizing there is a cost in following Jesus, but it's a cost that we willingly pay. When you go to the store, ladies, and you're going to buy a new toaster for the house, you pay for it. But you've examined it. You said, you know what? This is going to look really good on my counter, and this is going to make some really good toast for many years. I'm going to buy it. Well, considering the cost to follow Jesus is realizing what it's going to cost. Jesus went to the cross. We are following him. But as we do, as we follow the Lord in sincerity, he does supply the resources. And Patricia, he's equipping a people to be valiant upon the earth in these last days, in spite of what's coming on the earth.
He supplied the resources by supplying us with the enabler, the Holy Spirit. And he is a witness. Jesus Christ had to leave this earth and resurrect to send the Holy Spirit unto us. And he said, what I did, you shall do also. Even greater things shall you do. Now he became a true son of his Father in heaven. He submitted altogether. But what are we to do? We are to become overcomers, according to the book of Revelation, which is another book that tells you all of the details of what is happening in the earth today. It prophesies what was to be 2,000 years ago, and it's now being fulfilled. All you have to do is watch social media. You can see the fulfillment of it all. It is so true. It is so real. So what are we to overcome? We're to overcome the flesh. What is that? Our sinful nature. We are to overcome the devil. What is that? He's already been overcome by the work of God, Jesus Christ, on the cross. We are to overcome the flesh, the devil, and we are to overcome
the world.
The world.
There you
and
go.
The world is the things that people are being brought into. Go ahead.
No. What I'm saying, they told us on Facebook that we're not supposed to look in the camera.
Oh, okay.
We're the funniest people on the planet. We're doing
all right.
This.
We will not look in
you
the
don't
camera.
Look in the camera. This is so funny. We were told by Paul, you guys got to get on Facebook and do a video. And I'm looking at us going, we've got to be the funniest people on the planet. But anyways, you can get back to what you're saying. But I do have a word for somebody out there. I want to get into it. I just need a few minutes.
Okay, I just want to finish what I was saying about overcoming the world also. The flesh, the world, and the devil. This is an overcomer. And we can do that within the enabler, the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
And when I say the world, I mean the systems of this world. Mm-hmm. The beast systems of this world that we have talked about many times.
Amen to that. This requires such a huge conversation, and I'm hoping during the Feast of Tabernacles this year, we're going to have some speakers that are really going to dive into these subjects. I mean, we need to continue to hear from people, not just in our own little groups, but we need to continue to hear from people what the Spirit of God is revealing to them. And I want to quickly do this, and I'll turn the rest over to Patricia in just a minute. This may take 5 minutes, but this is a word, I believe, a direct word to somebody out there that maybe feeling this way. And I just want to share it with you. And I hope it ministers to you. I truly do. It's Isaiah chapter 49. And you'll get the meaning of this very quickly. In verse 1, listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, you people, from far. The Lord has called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother has he made mention of my name. He has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver has he hid me. And said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for naught, and in vain, yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now, saith the Lord, that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, It is a light thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Now that's the word that God spoke to the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts when Paul was going out. That this is the scripture that the Apostle Paul utilized. But here it is. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise. Princes also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Now, the rest of this goes on, and I'll just read one verse. It'll bring the sense. But Zion said, and this is you. This is somebody out there. This is what you've been feeling. This is what you've been saying. You see, the type and shadow in Isaiah 49 is directly to you. That God has literally known you from the womb. He's raised you up to be his mouthpiece. He has made you a sharp sword, a polished shaft. He knows you. And yet Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. And then his response is, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. The word that I had today for somebody, Patricia, they've been going through something to such a degree that they have felt like the Lord has forgotten all about them, that the Lord hasn't even been around, that he has forsaken them. And that's what Zion said. The Lord has forsaken me. He has forgotten me. And yet God is wanting to tell you today, he has not forsaken you. He has not forgotten you. You have been engraved in the palms of his hands. You have been bought with a price. He knows you. He loves you. He's allowed you to go through something and is going to make you more useful in this new season than you were in your prior season. He is going to make you more useful, more anointed, more powerful. You're going to break more yokes, and you're going to draw God's people back to God. That's what the beginning was all about. He created Israel to be a light to the nations of the earth, and you are going to be a light to the nations of the earth. You are going to shine brightly the glory of the King of Israel. His name is Yeshua. He is the Messiah. This is a word for you. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't throw in the towel. And don't think for a moment from this day forward God has forsaken you or forgotten you, regardless of how deep he has been dealing with you in the depravity of your human soul. Don't worry about that. He knows all about it. He's going into your gut to pull out some of the stuff that's been there from ancient times in the human nature of man. Let him have his way. Great things are about to happen.
Yes, and amen. You know that scripture in Proverbs that we talked about earlier, Proverbs 3, 5,
trust in the Lord
and
with
6.
All your heart.
Trust in the Lord at this time with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, seek him, and his knowledge will direct your path. He will give you knowledge necessary. And I have gone through life with that scripture. It has been a help in the time of need. He's given us everything we need. He's given us the work of the Holy Spirit, the power, to overcome because he's already overcome. So he says, it's already been done. Just walk and trust in me. That scripture and other scriptures that are powerful, you can do it. It's not difficult, but you can't let the devil turn you away. And by the way, speaking of that, there is on the move right now multitudes of people that are being pulled into a one world religion, meaning that all religions are going to come together as one. And I'm going to ask the people that are listening not to be fooled by it, because Christianity must stand alone, because it is the truth of all. The others are idols. And so we have to understand and know that. And it's going to be led by the Pope. So please keep your eyes open. Understand what's going on when all the other religions of the world are being pulled together, and Catholicism, which people will say, well, that's Christianity. And then some people who are Christians will be seduced by it. Don't allow yourself to be. This work of God, Jesus Christ, for the true and living Christian and the Jew who believes in Messiah, Messiah, this is a situation that'll be for the coming of the Lord, and he will look for those that have stood and did not get pulled in to a one world religion. I wanted to bring that up because it's on its way. In fact, it is already in operation.
Oh, sure. It's all over the world. And, you know, the last days, Jesus made it very clear that deception would be the greatest movement of the enemy in the last days. The devil that deceives the whole world. And Jesus warned against deception, and that's why keeping our head in the scriptures and our hearts and minds on the Lord, it's all about discipleship. It's all about being brought into the wilderness, being brought into the fire.
You're so right, because the scriptures talk about this happening.
Yeah.
I mean, we've already been told that it would be, and now we're seeing it being fulfilled.
Yeah,
isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. Here's what I'd like to do. What do we have? A few minutes left, about 8 minutes left in the broadcast. What I would like to do, on October 13th, we're beginning a Feast of Tabernacles, and we've got some friends out there that are very anointed by God. They are great teachers that really cannot make the journey into Northwest Arkansas. I'm going to ask if anybody out there, we have a system, a brand new system at our meeting place in Northwest Arkansas. We have three churches that meet in this building. We're one of them. But they put up a three-camera system that we could do live streaming. And I intend on live streaming the Feast of Tabernacles, all the speakers that are going to be there. We've got a number of pastors and apostles and prophets, all kinds of, you know, people that are coming with giftings that I believe are going to be very useful to the people of God. But what I'd like to do is find a way to get some of the men and women of God out there that have a relevant message to come on the screen and speak to us, maybe from where they live, where that can, you know, shine through. There's got to be a way to do it, and there's probably some technical people out there that could help us do it. That's very important right now. That feast is coming up. It's less than 30 days away now.
I want to encourage everyone to come to the greatest feast that has ever been brought into existence by the Lord God Almighty. It's his feast. It belongs to no religion. It is his doing. And in that, he shows us his grand return and what he is going to do to gather his people together as a mighty army, as the bride of Christ, and as manifested sons of God. It is such an encouraging time, such a celebrated time, because we're celebrating his return.
Amen. Amen to that. So here we go. Let's do something right now. I know that we're not able to bring people onto the telephone right now because the Facebook issue wouldn't work with that. I want to pray for people right now. I just feel like I want to pray, and we'll just take it from there. But I want to pray that, Father God, this special anointing, the best of your reserve that you have reserved, you said it in your word, Yeshua. You said that you have saved the best wine until now. You have a reserve in heaven. You have an anointing. And Father, I want to ask you to encourage every one of your children that have been walking through the fires, who have felt alone, who have felt abandoned, who have not understood that they've been brought into some situation where they're not feeling useful or impactful in what they're doing. They just have been going through something, and they've had an internal struggle going on, and you've been in the midst of it the whole time, and I ask that you would reveal yourself. Reveal yourself, Holy Spirit. Reveal yourself, Father, that you would never abandon. If you didn't abandon Israel, you're not going to abandon your new covenant people as well, that have both Jew and Gentile, that have been grafted in together as one new man in the earth. There's not a man or woman out there or sitting behind this microphone that has been abandoned or forsaken by you. For your word says, I will never forsake you. I will never forsake you. And Lord, if anybody has been tempted through the struggle to turn away, bring them back.
Yes.
Turn them around. And Father, for the cares of this world, the concerns for this world, Lord, may they just begin to pale in comparison right now to the glory of what you're doing for us in the eternal realm, in Jesus' name. Do you have a prayer?
Oh, I do. If you have been listening to this program, but you never have surrendered your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, to obey in love the wisdom that has been given unto you, if you would receive it, it is time. And I would like to pray with you about that. And I also would want to mention to you that if you are listening to this program, that means that the Lord knew you when you were in your mother's womb. He already knew you. But if you have not surrendered your life unto him, you don't know him. It hasn't become that wonderful experience of intimacy and love, like a father to a child, like a husband to a wife. These are the only descriptions we can give because of the deepness of that intimacy. So if you would just say and repeat after me, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this moment in time.
Thank you for this.
That you have given unto me to receive your precious Son, Yeshua HaMashiach, into my heart, a seed planted to change me and to give me eternal life. Life now, abundantly, fearlessly, and into eternity forever. I ask with all my heart, Lord God, that they would now say, yes, Lord, I will make you mine. Will you please make me yours? Come into my heart, fill my life with your Holy Spirit, and move upon me with divine wisdom that the Father has given unto those who will accept him. And I thank you in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. And may the Lord bless you and keep you today, wherever you are, whatever you're putting your hand to. May you be really filled up, and may the Holy Spirit make his presence known in your heart and your mind, that he really is there. And he's fighting for you, and he's with you through these fiery trials. You're coming out as pure gold, folks. You're going to be an end-time army that's going to be able to stand when everything else around you is falling. 1,000 at your side, 10,000 at your other side, but not nigh you. Get ready. Stay in the secret place. Don't give up. Don't give in. Lift up your heads. Give forth a loud, loud shout. We're going to say goodbye to everybody on Facebook right now, and we're going to try to work out this system a little better, Patricia. Okay, but right now, remember, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, omegaradio.org. And right now, there is a roundtable discussion that's going on for you that would follow in and continue on the Omega Radio Network. Omegaradio.org, 24/7, right now, Deliverance Roundtable Discussion with Patricia Joy Xavier out of her book, Deliverance, The Christian Bill of Rights. Have a great, blessed day. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing, right here on the Omega Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, and Facebook. Till we meet again, shalom.
Shalom.